In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you three stories about our first reading that actually happened to me. I think they help illustrate some important points. As a deacon, a transitional deacon, because, you know, of course, all priests have to serve a time as deacons on their way to being ordained a priest. So it's called a transitional deacon. I was out in St. Marguerite's in Tooele, where Father Ken is now, and there was a great old fellow who was one of the lectors. His name was Gerald Gordon, and he read this first reading from Ephesians, and when he came to the part about wives should be subordinate to their husbands, and I say again, wives should be subordinate to their husbands in everything. His wife Anne didn't think it was too funny. And part of what it shows is that he didn't really understand what St. Paul was saying. At my last parish, down at St. Anthony's in Helper, there was a great lady who was one of the lectors. She's a bit of a feminist. And every time this reading was scheduled, every time it came up in the lectionary, she was the reader. As God is my witness, I did not do it on purpose. I think it was the Holy Spirit. And to give her credit, she may not have liked reading it, but she read it. Unlike, again, when I was down in Carbon County, occasionally I'd have to say Mass at the mission in Huntington, and there was a kind of a crazy nun there. And this reading was part of the Sunday reading, and I focused my homily on it because I was going to explain some things I'll explain to you here in a moment. And she took it upon herself to just drop it out of the reading. And this was before you were allowed to do that. I still don't think you should be allowed to do that, because I think you're missing a good point, but a few years ago, the bishops just threw up their hands and said, whatever, if you don't want to read it, you don't have to, which I think was a big mistake. But they did it. So after I read the gospel, I said, well, you know, my homilies on that first reading, and part of it was left out, so let me read the whole thing. So I read the whole thing. You know, that it touches a nerve. It touches a nerve because some women, when they hear it, and men as well, just hear that one part. And we always get into trouble when we just take one part of sacred scripture and lift it out of the rest, and don't read what went before it and what went after it. So all they hear is, wives should be subordinate to their husbands as to the Lord. They don't hear the verse that came right before that, which is, be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. Everyone should be subordinate to everyone else. If that wasn't clear, when St. Paul is talking to husbands, he says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Now, we're not talking about warm fuzzies here. We're talking about actually doing things, doing loving things. And what does that look like? How did Christ love the church? Like that. Laying down his life for the church. Guess what? That's being subordinate too. Being subordinate does not mean you're being a slave. Having someone subordinate to you does not mean that you are the master. What we're talking about is mutual subordination in Christ. As St. John Paul II pointed out in his great encyclical letter on the dignity and vocation of women, Mulieris Dignitatum, which everyone should read. I don't care if you're a woman or a man, you should read that letter because it has a lot of important things to say that all of us need to know so that we treat each other with the respect which is due in Christ. So that's what it really means. How could anyone object to everyone loving each other as Christ loves the church? Everyone being subordinate to one another in that way. Just imagine what the world would look like if people did that. Just imagine what families would look like. There would be no divorce, period, if there was that kind of mutual subordination in Christ in each and every marriage. But some people, when they come across stuff that they don't like in sacred scripture, were like that kind of crazy sister down in Huntington. They just, well, I don't like that. Rip! Throw it away. You know, you can't do that. Whether you like it or not, it's in the Bible. And if you don't like something, really, what you need to do is study it more and see how it fits in with the rest of sacred scripture. That's what's so insidious about dropping things that we don't like. Because usually those are the very things that we need to learn the most. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.